1320 WILS Tuesday, 37. Just for the moment, we're going to get much colder in the next several days. A high of only 22 tomorrow, low 14. Then Thursday, a high of just 19 and a low of 10. So we got a break, but we're back into the frigid weather right ahead. Well, the House Republicans today in the U.S. House scrapping their effort to place the Independent Office of Congressional Ethics under the oversight of the House Ethics Committee. What would that have really meant? And what about this attempt? Why are they even doing this? Richard Painter is with us, law professor at the University of Minnesota, who served as chief ethics counsel for President George W. Bush. Richard, great to have you on WILS.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and what is this this committee all about, or this Office of Congressional Ethics? What were they doing that House Republicans were so upset about?
Well, the Office of Congressional Ethics was set up in 2008 after a whole series of scandals. We had the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandals, some others, and this was shortly after I left the White House Congress set up this Office of Congressional Ethics, and the idea was to have an independent body overseeing both in giving advice to members of the House on ethics and also investigations of alleged violations of the ethics rules.
Okay.
And it's critically important to have this independent body there.
But because Republicans,
what's going on.
The Republicans say the office basically takes anonymous complaints and then makes them public. They make it public information, the complaints that are filed with them. Is that right?
Well, there are Democrats, too, who have concerns about the investigations. And I think that some of the complaints, if they're anonymous, they shouldn't be made public until there's a resolution of the matter. I think there's a way to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And they certainly should expedite some of the investigations. But what they do not need to do is have this committee, this ethics office under the House. Provision.
So what would have happened if the oversight had been put under the House Ethics Committee? What would that have meant?
Well, the problem is the House Ethics Committee has the members of the House representatives on it. Both the Democrats and the Republicans have a conflict of interest there because they're going to be unlikely to investigate their colleagues, particularly if the investigation involves something that they themselves are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So putting the House Ethics Committee in charge of investigating members is like putting the fox in charge of the chicken coop and American taxpayer being the chicken. I don't like that idea at all.
Hey, Richard, tell me this. Why do you think that they made this attempt now? I mean, they just showed up, but what's the urgency here?
Well, I think some of the members want to get rid of the Office of Congressional Ethics. They didn't like the investigations, and they thought this would be an opportunity over the weekend when people weren't looking to just sort of shuffle things around and put it back the way it was back in before 2008. But as I said, we had a lot of problems with the House of Representatives then, and Dennis Hastert, the Speaker, wasn't really keeping his eye on things, and a lot of scandals.
Really? So when you were at the White House, just, I mean, was it a daily ethics problem, or how frequently were things popping up?
Well, the Jack Abramoff scandal had lots of different permutations. But I can tell you one thing. We had a Republican in control of both houses, and they were spending money like drunken sailors. Part of the problem was special interests get in there, and they want earmarks and everything else. It's awfully hard to cut down on wasteful government spending if you have conflicts of interest and lobbyists and all the rest of it.
No, you need
to have an independent ethics commission.
So with all these lobbyists in D.C., are the ethics issues, are they black and white, or is it usually gray? I mean, how blatant is it, would you say?
Well, it's usually done enough behind the scenes in order for people to try at least not to get caught exchanging favors for campaign contributions or financial conflicts of interest and the rest of it. But there's a lot of it going on. And as you say, it's a problem for both Democrats and Republicans. This is not a partisan issue. And this was a decision made by the House during the last year of President Bush's term. I think it's a good one to have the independent office of Congressional Ethics.
Mm-hmm.
And
is there a way
I
to really
keep it?
When you talk about these kinds of issues, you're talking about the back and forth and the scratching of backs. Is there really an effective way to address that in your view?
Well, I think they have an independent office of Congressional Ethics there in the House of Representatives that is not beholden to the members. That's a good start. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the big issue is the campaign finance. Until we fix the campaign finance system so ordinary people get a voice in their government, I think that all of us as voters, whether we're conservative or liberal, are going to get shut out. And one way or the other, there's going to be sort of a pay-to-play game going on in Washington.
So how do you fix those? Is that a simple thing to do? Or?
Well, that's a big problem. I've urged that taxpayers be entitled to have the first $200 of their taxes go toward a candidate of their choice. Mm-hmm. You know, that, in my view, would actually lower the size of the federal budget, because if the candidates were dependent upon ordinary people for financial support for the campaigns, not dependent on the lobbyists, it'd be amazing how much less by way of wasteful spending they'd vote for. That's what a lot of this is. People try to belly up to the bar, get the money out of the federal government. This is sort of pork barrel project, and the lobbyists are schmoozing the members, and that's been going on for years.
And under Donald Trump, do you think this will be more or less of a problem?
Well, Donald Trump has his own financial conflicts of interest, so he needs to clean those up quickly in order to set the right example. He was very good today at slamming the members of the House for trying to abolish the Office of Congressional Ethics, so I would congratulate him for that. Mm-hmm. But I think he's got to set the right example of his own financial conflicts of interest, sell his businesses, get the cash.
Who's going to hold him to account in terms of his own ethics?
Well, that's going to be the House of Representatives and the Senate for the most part. But obviously, if they really get in trouble in the White House, you get the Department of Justice involved and everything else. But I think that the oversight of the executive branch is principally with the United States House and Senate. And that's going to be their job, to watch the executive branch, whether it's the president's own conflicts of interest or anybody else's. Mm-hmm. And the fact that all three branches, I mean, both branches of the government are controlled by the Republicans, shouldn't make a difference. This is about oversight.
You think that House Republicans and Republicans in the Senate are really going to confront Donald Trump on ethical issues?
Well, I think they are behind the scenes. I think letting him know that he's got to have to straighten some of this out before he takes office. They aren't going to make so much noise as the Democrats. They're going to give him more breathing room in the public arena there. For the time being, but they're not going to want to take ethics baggage into the 2018 elections, and that's why I really think this is a very, very dumb move that they tried over the weekend to abolish the Office of Congressional Ethics. The public is not going to have much tolerance for any of this.
Mm. Now, I mean, you've got the Republicans running the show here. Do you think that increases the likelihood of ethical problems occurring?
Well, we're going to see how this works. Having one party in control of both the legislature, both houses of the legislature and the executive branch, and we'll see how much oversight there is. If it's not working and there's not much congressional oversight of the Trump administration or the members of the House and Senate are just a feather of their own nest, then we're going to see some changes in 2018. Mm-hmm. So that's up to the members of the House and Senate to decide, and also President Trump. But ethics is something that the voters take seriously.
So I'm curious, in most cases, they know the rules. So when they're caught breaking ethical rules, is it that typically do you find lawmakers felt they were in the right and it wasn't the case? Or how does it work out usually?
Well, they're caught breaking the rules. They say they're in the right and they explain themselves. But you also have situations where people skate close to the line and they may be following the rules. I think we saw a lot of that with respect to Hillary Clinton. She's following a lot of the rules technically, but the voters weren't very satisfied with it. So if we get that kind of attitude here, where President Trump or anybody else is saying, well, we're technically following the rules, but it does look good, there are going to be a lot of problems. And I think voters are going to let them know that. So it's compliant with the spirit of the law, not just the letter of the law.
Richard Painter, law professor at the University of Minnesota, served as the chief ethics counsel to President George W. Bush. What would you say the biggest ethics issue you ran into as his chief ethics counsel yourself?
Well, that's campaign money. I mean, that's a problem across the board. You have executive branch officials go speak at these fundraisers. They're pressured by the Office of Political Affairs in the White House, and in our case, the Republican National Committee. Mm-hmm. We've had 8 years of going on with the Democrat National Committee working through the Obama White House. And it doesn't matter who's in charge there. If we don't fix the campaign finance problem, we're going to have corruption of both political parties, and the American voter is going to be left out in the cold. And that's what we need to address first and foremost.
Okay. I mean, that's been going on for decades, right?
It's been going on for decades. It's gotten a lot worse. It was bad back when I was in the White House, and then the Supreme Court made it even worse with the Citizens United case in 2009. Said, well, the corporate money has got the free speech rights, too, and now we're going to have the foreign corporations getting in there. So we're worried about foreign governments influencing our election. This campaign finance system we've got is really set up to do just that.
The lawmakers will say what? That, yeah, we're taking money from them, but that's not dictating our decisions? Is that simply how they put it? Or?
Yeah, that's what they all say. But bottom line is, if you don't do what the campaign contributors want, then they're going to go out and fund an opponent. And everybody knows that. So there's a dependency relationship.
I've never understood, though, because sometimes they get, what, let's say $50,000. Is that enough to really sway a lawmaker? Is that all it takes?
Oh, yeah. It's not the 50 grand, you know, for most of them. We're talking about the super PACs and the larger bundles they're putting together. I mean, a lot of this goes out there and gets 50 grand from maybe 20 or 30 clients, puts that all together, and then that starts to get some traction. And then the super PACs, so you got the dark money, the 501c4s, and all those groups that the Supreme Court has sort of blessed. You know, that's the problem. So it's going well beyond the 50 grand at this point.
Richard Painter, right here on 1320 WILS. Richard, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Enjoyed it. Let's talk again.